W2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Vice President Harris officially clinched the Democratic nomination for president last night. We could find out any moment now who she's choosing as a running mate. Correspondent Nancy Cordes has our top story from the White House.
What we continue to be told is that Vice President Harris still has not made her choice. There will be an announcement, then there will be a video released introducing the country to this pick, whoever it is, and then she's appearing side by side with this individual at a rally in Philadelphia.
Tropical Storm Debbie is dumping torrential rain on Georgia and South Carolina, unleashing major flooding. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is in Charleston.
They've opened up some public garages so that people can get their cars on a higher level, because that's always a big problem around here. They've been trying to pump water out already, but the big problem that you're going to see if we get what is forecasted for this area is that you'll have the water trying to drain into the sea behind us. But then if you have storm surge, it can't really go anywhere.
The system's blamed for at least 5 deaths. Markets are making a comeback after yesterday's monumental losses. Analyst Gene Peroni.
I think I could make a case that while there are some legitimate reasons for the uncertainties and the fears, it probably was overdone in the session.
A landmark court ruling could change the way you use the internet. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
A judge, after a 10-week trial, ruling that Google's search engine has been illegally exploiting its dominance to squash any of its competitors. Antitrust enforcers have been saying that Google illegally held a monopoly over online search and related advertising by paying billions over decades to Apple, Samsung, and others to be sure its search engine was used instead of others.
A suspected rocket attack has injured several American service members at a military camp in Iraq. There's been no claim of responsibility so far, as Israel waits for possible retaliation by Iran after last week's assassinations of 2 Hamas leaders. Military consultant Jeff McCausland says the U.S. could be drawn in now.
Depending on the number of injuries, depending on the extent of their injuries, I think will be one of the motivations on what size response the United States executes.
A company called Moonshots documented a huge spike in calls for a modern-day civil war the day after the assassination attempt on former President Trump. CBS's Anna Schechter.
It's often young men, young white men who feel disenfranchised, who feel like they don't have prospects, espouse this kind of viewpoint. And there are multiple pockets of the internet that are devoted to this population.
Dow futures up 93. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The first cases of West Nile virus infections in Wisconsin this year have turned up in a would-be blood donor in Washington County and a dead bird in Chippewa County. It means infected mosquitoes are transmitting the virus to people and animals. 150 people at 3 wood product factories are out of a job, Lisa Hale reports.
Wisconsin Veneer and Plywood of Mattoon and Goodman Veneer and Lumber Company informed the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development that they would close the facilities and terminate all employees Friday, August 2nd. Birchwood Manufacturing and Rice Lake also closed. The companies are all owned by Bessie Forest Products Group. They said unprecedented industry downturn forced the closures. I'm Lisa Hale.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the crew in Atlanta to open a 3-game series against the Braves. Milwaukee with a 6-game lead in the NL Central, thanks to the Mets beating the Cards 6-0. Cubs losing at home to the Twins 3-0. NFL, the Packers have practice this week, getting ready to play the Browns in Cleveland Saturday night. Tight end Tucker Kraft taken off the PUP list after injuring his pectoral muscle in the weight room last April. Kraft thinks he can help out running back Josh Jacobs.
I think the run game, I got some really strong hands. I think I could be at the point of attack in a kick out, throw me in motion to take on larger guys in the run game.
In New York, the Giants and the Lions joint practice turned into a brawl. Packers have a joint practice next week in Denver. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today, our high in the mid-70s this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, we'll drop down to around 55 for a low. Tomorrow, partly becoming mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangent with Luke Mathers, and we'll discuss the new Democratic vice presidential candidate. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, August 6th, 2024. It is a beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, on social media, or on demand by podcast. Thanks for taking us along to get this Tuesday started. I got a question for you. Have you hit up the sweet corn stands yet? It is time. I can attest from last night's dinner, which included some fresh sweet corn from Klinger Farms up here just north of Chippewa Falls, and it is definitely sweet corn season. You need some advice for dinner tonight? Stop by and get some. It'll be time. I love this time of year. So do dental floss makers, come to think of it, and dentists for that matter. So be sure you brush and floss after that. Coming up today, the waiting. What did Tom Petty say? The waiting is the hardest part. I really thought that they were going to announce Kamala Harris's running mate last night. I expected the vice president to make an announcement, decide who she had picked, because the big first appearance is today at a rally in Philadelphia and then tomorrow here in the Eau Claire area. But nay, nay. So we'll continue to talk about the speculation, any tea leaves that can be read. It's fun. The tea leaves are fun. People are looking at flight trackers to see if anything is left, you know, Holman Field in St. Paul or, you know, airports in Philadelphia. It's just funny. So we'll talk about the wait for that. It's Tuesday. A couple of my colleagues will be along. Social media manager Sharita Booker will talk about some of the more popular posts of the past week. Christina Lurie talks about some of the uplifting stories that you can find in our daily newsletter. We will talk about what happened on Wall Street yesterday, which appeared to be a combination temper tantrum over interest rates and a bubble bursting over some tech stocks. Nothing in there really getting to the fundamentals of the economy that remain strong, but boy, that sure didn't stop the people who love rooting against the economy as long as it helps them politically. So we'll talk a bit about that. I mean, frankly, I'm just wondering, I mean, Wall Street hiccups, is that the new imaginary migrant caravans that we're going to hear for the rest of the campaign? We'll see. Let's see. Brittany Merlot will be along with the forecast. Chad Holmes will talk about his show on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau coming up right after this program. But speaking of the weather, it was pretty nasty in parts of Wisconsin yesterday with high winds knocking over some trees. There was at least one tornado warning, flash flooding in the Boscobel area and elsewhere. And this morning, the rain is moving on, and we now have some dry and significantly cooler temperatures to report. About 10 to 15 degrees cooler than this time yesterday. It's 56 up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's at 45. Park Falls, 49. Wausau, 54. Green Bay's at 60. La Crosse, 59. It's 55 in Rapids, 60 in Oshkosh, 61 in Madison. And over there in beautiful downtown Waukesha, it's 59 degrees, where we find Greg Bach, again in his Milwaukee Brewers jersey, getting ready to cheer on the Brewers as they come back from a day off. Look at that. He's already lost his train of thought. Is today the 6th? Yeah. And head to Atlanta. There you go. Properly attired for the Atlanta series, Mr. Bach. Good morning.
Yeah, I am. I have so much Brewers gear now. Like, seriously, it's craziness that I'm stretching while I'm telling that. But I take issue with you with something, Pat.
Okay.
When the show opened this morning, not 4 minutes ago, you said, "Welcome to a beautiful day up on Lake Wissota." I'm like, is he having the same day I am? Because right now I'm looking at the window and it looks like we're just about right before a plague. It just looks awful outside. It's gray, it's windy, it's dark, it's cold, and I'm just like, what did we do? What did we do?
Remember how I said the rain is moving out? I guess I could have been a bit more specific. still basically from Marinette down to Platteville, which would be what, the southeastern third of the state, Pat. It's still rainy. Thunderstorms are moving across, basically moving along I-94 between Madison and Milwaukee. It's heading right for you. But then it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And then, as Alicia points out on Facebook here, as a summer person, the cool weather is a slight relief. The big news is that for the first time in over a week, the Kreitlow household windows are open. And there's no more 900% humidity with conditioner on. There's actual fresh air moving in and out of the house. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And the same will happen to you later today.
Oh, I mean, it's 66 degrees right now, so it's... I'm not upset about the cool weather. I like it. It's very, very nice. There's something about going outside at night or early morning and it's hot out and you're like, oh.
Yes.
Because this will only get worse.
That's right. And it may yet again. I mean, it's only early August, but that last spell of hot, really humid weather is broken at least for a little while. So I will take that. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the sweet corn. I don't know if you have. Do you have a place near you where you like to get some that's pretty fresh?
There's some roadside markets in Kenosha and Racine you can go to and pick some up. My mother-in-law always she'll just show up and be like, "I got corn." I'm like, "Yeah, you do."
Yep. Oh, it's so good at this time of year, especially when you drench it in an unhealthy amount of butter. That's the best part.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Okay.
I want to blow your mind a little.
Go for it.
There's nothing wrong with dumping the corn into a vat of butter and just going to town. But I challenge everyone listening, next time you get an ear corn in your hand, it's nice and roasty and fresh and hot. Mm-hmm. Throw some lime juice on there.
Lime juice on your sweet corn.
I was incredulous at best, vulgar at worst when I was brought the idea. And I tried it, and it brings a crispiness to the corn and a lightness and a freshness, and it gives flavor. And it's so delicious.
Go ahead. Along with butter and salt, or just by itself?
By itself.
By itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because let's face it, you're going to have more than one ear of corn.
Yes. Let's not kid around. So, you could experiment with a little lime juice. Or if you've got a lime, like we always do for, certain beverages, maybe just rub a little slice of lime on there.
There you go. There you go.
Well, you know what? We got a couple of years left. I may have to report back to you this time tomorrow.
I can't wait.
All right. The other thing that we had with it was still some of the leftover ribs from the birthday party a month ago. It was a month ago today. And we had way more ribs. People ate up the broasted chicken like crazy.
Yeah.
And I think people just didn't want to get their fingers all sticky at a party and everything because they were really good ribs. So we thought, we wrapped them all in little 3-4 rib packs, wrapped them all in aluminum foil, and froze them. We thought, let's see how this turns out. Mm-hmm. Now, you've already heard me rave that if you get ribs at a restaurant and you warm them up the next day in an air fryer, you put some barbecue sauce on there, that they're better than the night before. I am happy to report that if you freeze them and then thaw them for a day and then put them in the air fryer, same exact thing. Just perfect. I had no idea that ribs had that kind of staying power. But some ribs and corn yesterday. That's as summer as it gets.
I need to move.
I'm making you cry.
Well, I think I need to start working in the You know, Bridget, we need to move to Lake Wissota one day. Because I just feel like the lives that the two of you live are just this idyllic, like...
Oh, yeah, that's exactly... Yeah, that's... that. That's... We have always prided ourselves on being much like the duck that tries to appear calm above the surface while paddling like hell underneath. But yes, Dr. Kreitlow puts together an amazing meal whenever, you know, she can of, in this case, of the ribs and the corn, and she steams some pea pods. Ooh. And yeah, at Farm Girl, she does it just right. She does. Want to hear what you're thinking on the lime juice on the corn or any other little summer, you know, hacks for your meal. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text us, or you can put a comment on our Facebook page for Up North News or Civic Media, or on the Up North News YouTube page as well. We were watching some gymnastics last night, of course, for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, is there like an earthquake in Paris? Like every woman is falling off the balance beam at some point yesterday.
Yeah.
And then somebody put together a little clip, and I don't know if I didn't watch everything, so maybe NBC caught it too. But it all fell in three different clips. It looked like they fell in the exact same part of the beam. And so I'm wondering if there's, you know, an equipment person someplace who's going to be in a lot of trouble when those clips come out there, or if that was just sheer coincidence. But it was not. I turned to Sherry at one point. I'm like, well, Nadia Comaneci is not here today because Simone Biles fell off the beam.
Yeah.
A couple of other women fell off the beam. It just wasn't the right night for that.
I heard about Simone Biles, yeah.
Yeah, but she, you know, she still meddled in that and floor exercises. Yeah. But even on that, there she stepped out of bounds twice. So it was not, you know, it was not perfection. But again, who are we? Who are we? I couldn't get up on the balance beam without falling right back over. You know,
Pat, the technique of some of those performers was quite off, and I must say, quite disappointed in
so
Olympics.
Disappointing. Oh, how could they not be perfect? Watching the pole vaulter guy, whose name escapes me here, was it Mondo, Brando, Rando, something? Anyway, he broke his own world record again for the pole vault. And what I'd like to see, and again, maybe somebody's already done this, but, you know, I kind of remember the Munich Games, but it was, you know, a tragedy, and I was very young then. I definitely remember the Munich Games, Bruce Jenner and company. And I'd love to see where the bar was, how the world record has changed over the years for that pole vault. Because now they're at heights that you do not think is as humanly possible.
Also, you're like, I know this probably has to go back to the days of war, but you're like, why do we still do this one? It's just...
I asked that too last night. I did on that one, and there were a couple of others. Like, why do we still do that particular one? You know? But they add some now and then. They had kind of like a kayak, you know, they called it a kayak cross or something. It was basically whitewater rafting on a course. And that was pretty cool. So I like when they add things. But yeah, some of these, like the discus and the shot put. I mean, strength, yes, I get it. But who throws anything like that?
Just them.
And trust me, again, I'm not going to pick a fight with either the men or the women who are doing that kind of thing. We've got a few things to talk about in the news today. Certainly that Wall Street temper tantrum, and the wait goes on for a running mate for Kamala Harris. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Benarek, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball, and Madeline Wanamaker is a rower from Neenah. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competing in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vidas from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Ball.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Now it's time to check in with our social media manager, Sherita Booker, for some of the more popular posts over at Up North News on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and more. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Here we are in the midst of the Paris Games, and of course, that's going to make for some popular posts all around, and perhaps none more so than Simone Biles, you know, after winning a gold for the team competition, winning in the all-around, winning gold there as well. I mean, it's just been such a games for her. And it's always nice when friends or family can take part in this in some way, shape, or form. Some spouses, you know, they have jobs and things that don't allow them to get away, but that's not the case for Simone Biles' partner, and folks really responded well to that.
Yep, former Packers safety Jonathan Owen got the okay to miss a week of training camp to support Simone Biles during the Olympics. Owen is now with the Chicago Bears. Boo! But when he did play for the Packers, Simone Biles attended every home game. And that post had more than 6,000 likes on Facebook. Paul said the Bears should be looked up to for giving Owen's time off. It's the right thing to do. And Jesse said, Biles is the GOAT. I hope deep down inside she remains a Packers fan. And I think she will, because she always said that she loved it here and Wisconsin Lions were super welcoming to her.
And there's this comment by Jesse who says, yeah, but Jordan Love is the new owner of the Bears. So technically, Jonathan is still on the payroll since since we've kind of owned the Bears for the past several years here. And somebody else noted the only sad thing about this is that Simone already has more medals this year than the Bears will have wins this year. So, you know, we can always have fun with this. And I don't know when the Bears come up to Lambeau Field, but I would not doubt that we would see Simone there as well. So let's take a look at one of the summer activities. There have been so many, I mean, just amazing activities, so many sites. I mean, they're up here in Chippewa Falls, we will occasionally see like the Blue Angels or one of these other groups whenever there's an air show, not even in the area, sometimes just on their way to a show. And we had a very popular post dealing with the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, so the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds were in town for Milwaukee's Air and Water Show, and they're the third oldest form of flying aerobatic team in the world, and planes fly up to 800 miles per hour doing loops and rolls just 18 inches apart. And that post had more than 2,000 likes. And Quinn said, saw the show on Saturday, and it was my first time. Loved it. She also included a cool video, so you can check it out. And Cynthia said, I met and spoke with the first woman Thunderbird, Left Wing, twice. She was doing what I always wanted to do. It was amazing both times. And she also posted a picture of the two of them if you want to check that out in our comments section. And I was lucky enough to, I missed the Air and Water Show because I was in the Dells this weekend, or during the weekend that they were here. But I did get to see them practice. So while I was at the park with my kids, we saw them in formation and practicing in the sky. So it was super cool and loud.
Yes, very loud. And a couple of people did make comments about that as well. But yeah, I know that as I've been driving through central Wisconsin, especially if you're near Volk Field and things like that, there's a lot of space, shall we say, out there without commercial traffic for the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels and all these other groups to participate. So I'm glad they're still being well received. All right, well, that's a nice summertime activity. Let's look toward the fall, and we actually go back to the Green Bay Packers to wrap things up here. Again, a popular post in part because this post makes it clear that the Packers are always going to be here to stay and not get caught up in some of the usual funny business between teams and their host cities.
Yeah, so a fun fact here is the Green Bay Packers are the only major pro sports team in North America that's publicly owned. And unlike other teams owned by wealthy people or partnerships, the Packers are held by over 500,000 shareholders known as the nonprofit group Green Bay Packers, Inc. And no one can own more than 4% of the team. So that post had more than 2,000 likes on our Facebook. And we had a lot of proud shareholders in the comments, like Janice, who said, and many of my family, including myself, are among them. And Eileen, who said, I am an owner, shareholder, and wear my cheese head with pride.
Because people do feel that stake in it. And yeah, it's not exactly
the same. You know, the stockholders don't have the same rights as other shareholders, but it's just that personal investment, which sometimes means just as much. And it's what has, you know, kept us having a team in the NFL's smallest market. We have a Major League Baseball team in baseball's smallest market. This is certainly one of the smaller markets for the NBA, but again, just gives you a taste of how supportive the fans can be when they know that the team is committed to the community as well. All right, well, there's our top three stories, but you know, while I got you, I have to ask, you probably are a regular at the Wisconsin State Fair. It's probably not too far away from you. I know we talked to Christina Lurie last week about some of the popular foods there. So let me ask you as well, while the State Fair is going on, some of your favorite stuff. It might be food, drink, might be some of the things to do. What's on Sherita Booker's most popular list for the State Fair?
So every year I take my kids to the State Fair and we go ride rides, eat. My favorite thing, I know it's so lame, but I love roasted corn on the cob. Like, it's my go-to. I have that every year. And then we also check out the Sporky's finalists and we'll walk around trying to find those, taste them. I know this year it's a lot of sweet stuff. I'm not a sweet person, but I'm still going to check out a few things. And I'll go back a second time just to eat without my kids.
Oh, like hell, you're not a sweet person. We know you better than that. Maybe sweet foods, that might be something different. But there's nothing wrong with the roasted corn, because a lot of times you're going to get this stuff fairly fresh. They're going to dip it in way more butter than you're supposed to, as you would when you were at home. So no, it's an outstanding treat. So no, that sounds like a lot of fun. All these fairs are great all around Wisconsin, and we appreciate everything you do and getting all the comments from people about it. Sherita Booker, social media manager for us at Up North News. Sherita, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
And coming up, we'll talk to Christina Lurie, who puts together our daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, a lot about the State Fair and State Fair food, but also how Vice President Kamala Harris has recently endorsed that new proposal by President Biden that would make major changes to the U.S. Supreme Court by instituting term limits and having a more binding, enforceable code of ethics. Probably quite necessary, given the latest revelation that Justice Clarence Thomas failed to publicly disclose additional private travel that was provided by a wealthy conservative donor. That, according to a U.S. senator who has uncovered more records about Clarence Thomas. So yeah, that might come in handy. Wall Street is going to be opening higher. Japan has already claimed back a big chunk of what was lost yesterday in trading that was seen in part as a temper tantrum that the Federal Reserve has not done enough to cut rates, and that traders want rates to be cut maybe a half a point in September, not a quarter percent. And it was their way of saying they think that if that doesn't happen, the economy is going to be in trouble. And you also had a series of tech stocks and other stocks that had been overvalued, because, again, the recovery has been so good. We continue to be the wonder of the world in terms of economic recovery from the pandemic, with clearly more ground to be gained. But so many jobs have been added and wages have gone up, stock prices have gone up, and in some cases, folks thought it had gone up too high. But every indication yesterday seemed to be that the fundamentals were still in place and that this would be more in the correction rather than a harbinger of something worse. But of course, you wouldn't know that from listening to folks like Eric Hovde and Donald Trump yesterday, who were clearly continuing to root for a recession for the U.S. economy. Not the kind of thing you want to see heading into an election season. All right, Christina's here on the other side with some of our uplifting stories next. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The dairy industry continuing to review the Federal Milk Marketing Order reform guidelines that were released about a month ago. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and I'll tell you what, Wisconsin dairy producers better pay attention. Dr. Leonard Polzin, University Extension dairy economist in River Falls, says although these federal milk orders may not decide prices, they definitely influence them.
When you're thinking of what the federal orders do and what they are, is to think of them almost as a traffic cop for dairy markets. They don't set the prices. The market sets the prices. They're a mechanism in which a lot of our trafficking policing happens within dairy pricing, right? They're the mechanism in which some of the math happens, in which some of the transmission of information, price discovery information, things like this happen. So oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, oh, federal orders set a minimum price. No, they don't set it. The market does.
Dr. Leonard Polzin, University Extension dairy economist at River Falls, he said, ultimately, the dairy industry will vote on a yes or no on these federal milk order reforms. He said, yes means you agree to adopt the changes. No means getting rid of the orders entirely. So critical to stay in communication with your dairy cooperative. Markets next.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Zatavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped another 2 cents to $1.91. 40-pound block cheese, a penny lower at $1.84. Double A butter stood still at $3.10.5. On the closing bell, December corn finished 3.75 cents higher at $4.07. November new crop beans were up 13.5 on Monday, 10.40 3/4. September wheat a half cent higher, 5.39 1/2. Not a real good day for dairy. The September Class 3 milk dropped 68 cents to 1977. October was down 41, 20, 23, 100 weight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stood on a Tuesday morning. I'm PM Yankee.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today, our high in the mid-70s this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, we'll drop down to around 55 for a low. Tomorrow, partly becoming mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils FKITS radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his crow. Tune in Devils.
The Devils Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
And now it's time for The Uplift, our visit with Christina Lurie, who puts together our newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Pretty good. We've got 1 week of the Olympics in the books, a few days left. How have you liked them so far?
I've been enjoying
I was going to say, I was going to use the saying, this is like my Olympics, but literally is.
Literally is. And for a lot of these folks, and you have been kind of our chief tracking officer when it comes to all of the Wisconsin tie-ins to the Olympics, a lot of Badgers on there, you know, Wisconsin folks well represented at the Paris Games. Has any one person in particular stood out for you?
Well, this is really Wisconsin's week. Wisconsin excels in the track and field categories, and not just on Team USA. We have a lot of athletes, especially in the longer distance races, which to me, as someone who used to run track and cross country, are brutal. I mean, I don't want to be running 16 laps around the track, but these athletes do, and they're great at it. Wisconsin has a lot of athletes actually that are representing Australia and New Zealand. So they have a big running community down there. And a lot of those events are not until this weekend. They kind of save the longest for last.
Yes.
We also have an athlete. She's not a Badger. She was a Badger, and it's kind of a rough story because she transferred, so she left us. But she's originally from Milwaukee. Her name is Emily, and she's going to be racing in the marathon. And okay. What's incredible about her is that until Olympic trials, she had only run a marathon distance 3 times before.
Hmm.
And yet she finished first for Team USA. So That's an eye to watch. She's in the last race of the Olympics, which is on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see.
What's your favorite sport to watch?
Oh, I just like the whole, you know, the whole spectacle. I'll get sucked into pretty much anything, you know. I mean, I was saying before about, you know, catching Simone Biles out of the corner of my eye in the afternoon because of the time zones and being able to watch her win the all-around gold medal. But then, you know, I'll watch some of the, say, the shorter swimming races, but I didn't stick around for Katie Ledecky's because she does these distance swims and 30 laps back and forth in the pool. I mean, it's just, for me, it's not must watch TV, you know.
What really gets me in both the long swimming races, but especially the like 2 hour plus running races, is that professional athletes do it without any headphones. I just really can't contemplate that. I don't even know how I did it in high school running a 5K distance in cross country without any music. I mean, nowadays I can't walk anywhere without having my headphones in and listening to a podcast or some music. That's the really incredible part, especially in the pool. I mean, Katie Ledecky, she's frequently like an entire body or two ahead of these other athletes. So she doesn't even feel them on her heels to not have any sort of, you know, pump you up music.
I feel like over the years, we continue to talk about the mental health of athletes, and then basically the head games, if you want to call it that, you know, the training, whether it's, you know, put your own kind of music in your head or relaxation and breathing techniques or anything. It used to just be flat out, you know, just brawn. Who is the strongest? Who is the fastest? But we've learned now that if you can, you know, either like calm the voices in your head or whatever the case may be, that can give you an edge, even if you're not necessarily the most muscular one in the pool or in the gym.
They were asking that Katie Ledecky that after she won a few days ago, and they were asking like what she thinks about when she races. And she says she does each lap for a different person in her life and thinks of them the whole lap, which I thought was a pretty sweet way of thinking. But you had also brought up, gymnastics, Simone Biles. That's my personal favorite thing to watch. And although we don't have any Wisconsin connections to like the, they're calling themselves the Golden Girls, the five members of the team this year, Chelsea Memel, who was a member of the 2008 silver medal winning team, she is from the Milwaukee area and she's currently a coach with Team USA. So she is actually in charge. She has an interesting role. And it's really why Team USA wins so much, because she helps the athletes determine what moves they're putting in their routines to maximize their potential judges' scores. You know, the scores of gymnastics, I miss when it was just 1 through 10,
because yes,
I understood that.
Right.
But nowadays, you know, Simone Biles' difficulty is frequently like a maximum of like 15 point something. And Chelsea is the one that actually helps develop the skills that create that ranking, which is why she is the GOAT.
Well, and that's the thing is, we have to acknowledge the coaches and all of this. Far too often, they just get like a moment of TV time on the sidelines, but there's so much more to that, whether it's for an individual or for a team. So I'm really glad that you brought that up.
And gymnastics in particular, it's nice to see someone like Chelsea, who is there in the kind of like pre and post era of everything that went on with gymnastics, because they didn't have that excellent of coaches for a while. I mean, they were great at winning medals, but they were not treating the girls well.
Right.
So it's nice. That was the kind of coaches that Chelsea had on her time with Team USA. But it's nice to see her be part of the change and bring in some new traditions and well-being measures.
Oh, that's great. I know in one of your posts you talked about somebody being the first Badger to medal at these games, getting a bronze in women's rugby. But you also made note that for the UW, it's the school's 18th medal of all time. So Badgers have always been well represented at the Olympic Games.
They have. And so the woman you mentioned, the first Badger to win a medal at this year's games, her name is Alev Kelter. And she is just a fascinating athlete, because she won bronze for U.S. women's rugby, which, shout out to them. That was America's first ever medal in that event. I loved also the alliteration of a Badger winning bronze. It seems very on brand. You know, I mean, we need to kind of change. Maybe we need to be the Gophers if we want to win gold. Okay. You know, they stuck with the theme there. But sure. What's amazing about Alev is that at Wisconsin, obviously there's no NCAA rugby. So she played not one, but two other sports, Division I, soccer and women's hockey, which women's hockey at Wisconsin is really the gold standard of hockey. Right. So it's incredible that, I mean, she deserves to be an Olympian with that level of athleticism. And this was actually her third Olympics too. So it's nice to see, you know, she knows what losing and not winning a medal is like. So to be on the other side of it, she got to be interviewed on the Today Show, sitting on the couch next to Hoda and Savannah. That just, as a news nerds like us, you know, that's the part to me that like sounds most exciting.
Yes. If you get waved over to the couch, the way comedians used to by Johnny Carson, that you knew you were big. It's the couch that always does it. Another Badger that you mentioned, Grace Joyce was her name. And they were on what, the U.S. women's quad team in rowing. Again, one of those obscure sports that pretty much most people only watch if it's in the Olympics, but it's always nice to know if there's some kind of a, you know, a hometown connection to these sports.
And we in Wisconsin, we have not one, but 3/4 connections, because Grace is actually the only member of the only former Badger that's in the Olympics this year that is not originally from Wisconsin. She went to the University of Wisconsin, but her hometown is in here. The three other, you know, Badgers that are in Paris representing us all were born and raised in Wisconsin too. So that's like an extra connection. But Badger women's rowing, I feel like that often gets lost in the conversation. You know, we hear about how we mentioned the hockey team is always great. Women's volleyball is always excellent. Women's rowing is frequently fantastic too. And they have a long history of sending Badgers to the Olympics. They've sent a Badger to every single games since the 60s.
So really? Wow.
And this year they sent four. They've sent four two other times before in history. I mean, it's really, they're just dominating that territory.
Yeah. I mean, here's another one. Wisconsin's Rose Lavelle played for the U.S. women's soccer team as well. Boy, we covered gymnastics.
Amazing about Rose, Pat, is that she's kind of like an unassuming star of the team. She didn't get as much attention as, you know, Megan Rapinoe or Alex Morgan, but she is frequently the playmaker in these games, and she's just super humble. You see her all over the field. She absolutely gets everywhere as a midfielder. And this is her second Olympics. In 2021, she won bronze with the women's team. So the women's soccer team hasn't won gold since 2012.
Oh, you know what else I saw in a post of yours about Badgers was that the Olympics would have equal numbers of male and female athletes, although the Badger numbers were even better, as you put it. 9 of the 17 Olympians from the UW are women.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? So that in the 126 year history of the modern Olympic Games, we had never before had an equal number of men and women until this year. And the first Olympics actually had 0 women. So we've come a long way.
Yeah.
But there are, the Badgers actually sent 2 more women than men this year. And it's nice to see some parity there. And also, I was actually just talking about with my dad about this the other day, is that I feel like the Olympics are the one time where just collectively more people are talking about women excelling than men. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think of the biggest names of the games, not just from Wisconsin, but you know, we've already talked about Katie Ledecky, Simone Biles, going back, Alex Morgan was the name, Megan Rapinoe. Besides Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt, the main names that always come to mind tend to be women.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing I noticed, though, as you were putting together this list, in the social media era that we live in, is that you managed to find an emoji for every person participating, whether they were swimming or rowing. There's little emojis for gold, silver, and bronze medals. It's become, the Olympics have become a pictograph, almost. You could almost go without the words in some of these cases.
I'm glad you appreciated my work, because it took me a very long time to handpick all. I think there's 17, right? 17 mm-hmm. Badgers going.
Yep.
That was 17 handpicked emojis. That's what they pay me the big bucks for, pal.
Yeah, right. Did you catch the opening ceremonies?
I did. The thing that I always find most interesting is how Mike Tirico can pronounce every country and every athlete's name so flawlessly.
Mike Tirico is amazing. He's been underrated in my book. I remember when he first came on the scene and thinking that guy was going to go places, and he has definitely lived up to the hype. Although, you know, the original was Jim McKay from ABC Sports, and I remember watching him as a kid, and you know, never underestimate the importance of a good anchor. Whether you're talking about your Olympic broadcasts, your newscasts, and of course, your track and field team. You need a good anchor grabbing that baton and running with it. On that abysmal pun note, we'll let things go. Christina Lurie has plenty of uplifting stories about Wisconsinites in the Olympics and so much more. Catch the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, thanks very much. Have a great day.
You all too.
So that's some of what we're seeing Olympic-wise. Greg, you're telling me that there's alternative programming, shall we say, but now, are you really going to force me? Peacock is one of the things I've been holding out on. I've been trying to draw a line in the sand saying, I can't get it all, but maybe, I guess, look, I know I have to get Peacock if I want to see the Packers opener. Yeah. So maybe I should get it this week, you're saying?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Here's a couple of ideas. One, just get the trial. If you want to do that, mm-hmm. that's cool. Also, maybe I know somebody who has a Peacock account that I can help you
maybe.
Out with. Maybe. NBC, MSNBC, Peacock, CSI, FBI, NSA. You're not listening right now. But yeah, I think it's worth it. It's fun. And yeah, if you want to watch that opener, you're probably going to have it as well. Write it off as a business expense. We'll talk about it the next day in our boring sports recap.
So we'll talk about, what do you note here, the Kevin Hart, Kenan Thompson review?
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
Every 2 days they do a review, 30 minutes. It's kind of raunchy. It's like it's R-rated, but it's fun. It's really funny.
Oh, so that's because NBC can't do those things, you know, on the main network.
Exactly.
That's why we get Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, exactly.
Which has been somewhat entertaining, but if you're going to give me a choice, give me Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson.
There you go.
Being raunchy about the Olympics.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin. Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. Yeah, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
93.5 The Tap.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
We start today's history lesson in 1988 with a song from 1962. That's the Contours, of course, but they got a second bite of the apple heading up the charts, peaking at number 11 on this day in 1988 because it was on the soundtrack of Dirty Dancing. That's right. Let's see, on this day in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signed into law the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which has been chipped away at by a conservative Supreme Court in more recent years. Let's go back to 1960, where Chubby Checker was on Dick Clark's Saturday Night Beach Nut Show and performed this little ditty for the first time. Do you think when he was doing that, singing the song and just swiveling his hips a little bit, do you think he knew it would be like this national sensation?
At the time, no. But if you look at his greatest hits records, all of them are in a twist-based economy.
Yes. Let's twist again. The peppermint twist.
Yeah. Yes. And at first, I was like, yeah, let's twist again. It's great. It was the first. And then by like the end, they're like, oh, God, Christmas twist? Oh, no.
Now if we could just get a tie-in to Twisters, you know, the movie somehow or another. Hey, earlier we played Stevie Nicks' Don Henley, Leather and Lace. It was one of the many songs off her first solo album, Belladonna, that debuted this day in 1981. It included, of course, we've got, oh, yes. The White Winged Dove for Edge of 17.
Just get in there, yeah, rock.
She was rocking as well with Tom Petty, Stop Dragging My Heart Around, After the Glitter Fades. So basically all these folks looked at Stevie Nicks and said, oh yeah, you're a really good member of Fleetwood Mac, but can you do this on your own as a solo artist and do some duets? The answer is yes. Yes, she could.
She twirled twice and said, I can.
Yes. Coincidentally, on this day, 11 years prior in 1970 at the Fillmore West in San Francisco, Christine McVie played her first gig with Fleetwood Mac. She would later become the band's first female member, joining her then husband John in the group. Happy birthday goes out today to one of the Spice Girls. That would be Jerry Halliwell. Ginger Spice is 52 years old today. Now, as I've mentioned before, my daughters are in their early 30s, but I'm looking out at our living room right now, and I'm currently seeing a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old just bouncing around to this album when it first came out.
Did they ever dress up as one or other of the Spice Girls for Halloween?
No, I don't think they ever got in costume, but they definitely, with a couple of friends, they would try to do some of the dance moves. In fact, they still can do some of the dance moves.
Yeah, they can.
which just warms my heart. On this day in 1993, Sheryl Crow, then 31 years old, released her first album, Tuesday Night Music Club, and would eventually sell over 7 million copies. We've got a Wisconsin tie-in to today's history lesson. Happy 73rd birthday to Pat McDonald, co-founder of Timbuk3.
Love this song.
Mm-hmm. This song, The Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades, won the 1987 Grammy for Best New Artist. He formed the duo with his then-wife, Barbara K. McDonald, in Madison in 1984.
Wow. And if you haven't watched the video, I encourage you.
Yes. I mean, it's still going to lift your spirits anytime. By the way, years later, in 2005, Pat McDonald co-founded Steelbridge Songfest, an annual not-for-profit benefit concert and songwriting festival held in his current hometown of Sturgeon Bay. That first concert featured Jackson Browne, who played for free, and the local bridge got saved, and they're still doing it to this day. They did it back in June.
Love that.
On this day in 2015, Broadway was never the same after the addition of another one of those musicals that just kind of takes its place. I'm not going to say the Mount Rushmore because there's so many that would qualify, but on this day in 2015, Hamilton opened. Where are we at?
The Battle of Yorktown.
Oh, yeah. And what? This is? 1781. Thank you.
Okay. You know, when you ask those questions, I'm like, I don't know. Where? What am I doing wrong? I still, to this day, I've listened to this soundtrack 5 dozen times, and I still get goosebumps.
Of course, a hip-hop music, hip-hop-infused musical. Based on the life of Alexander Hamilton. It opened on Broadway at the Richard Rogers Theater 6 months after a sold-out off-Broadway debut. Coincidentally, when that show opened, Leslie Odom Jr., who played Aaron Burr, turned 34. It was his birthday that day. He is 43 today. Of course, you can't get to August 6th without the somber reminder that this is the anniversary of the atomic bomb being dropped on Hiroshima, Japan, killing about 70,000 people instantly. Tens of thousands would die in subsequent years from burns and radiation poisoning. On the National Day calendar today, this is Farm Worker Appreciation Day. This is National Night Out Day. This is National Root Beer Float Day. It has been a while since I've had a good root beer float.
Yeah, it's, right?
It's kind of in that, you know, milk and Pepsi type of thing. It's like, well, do you really put these two things together? Yeah, when done right with root beer. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see the message I left you at the beginning of the show in our chat?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Monster texted a picture of Peeps flavored Pepsi.
Peeps flavored Pepsi. I mean, what are you supposed to, like you said, what are you supposed to believe in and after you hear that?
Oh, I got the answer right there, Pat. It's nothing.
This is National Sandwich Month, and I did not come prepared with any special sandwich for today. So, yes,
I got Greg, one for you. Have,
okay, what's today's sandwich nominee?
Peanut butter and banana.
Okay.
Do you like bananas?
I like bananas.
Do you like peanut butter?
I like peanut butter.
There you go.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean,
you wouldn't know. Well, you never tried it.
Look, if we're going there, I mean, let's just go all the way. Let's drizzle some Hershey syrup on that thing too. Let's. I mean, you're he's giving me a look like, hey, Pat, you might be onto something
Pat
there.
The secret is a dollop of Nutella. Hey, Tony Zimmerman, I don't want to hear that kind of talk.
Tony says no.
That better be for YouTube. Pepsi Peeps.
Yeah, let's hope so. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We lower
our guns as he- You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.